Thank you, Peggy, and Becky, and John. I want to turn now to our scripture verse from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 5, 17 through 24. This is, as I mentioned, Jesus, very early in his ministry, speaking to the church he was building, his disciples. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks to us about the law and the gospel, and he has important thoughts on his mind that he wants to share with the church. And he talks about how the law of God will last as long as time lasts. It says earth and heaven even will pass away before the law of God will pass away. As I was meditating on this verse, one of the things that came to my mind was how we believe in our lives that certain things have some level of permanency, right? I mean, up here in the northern Minnesota, you're familiar with what they call centennial farms. These are farms that have been in the family for over 100 years, right? And that's really good. It's a good thing for a family to have that kind of permanency. But you know, and I know, that that land will someday pass to somebody else. I remember my family, our family farm out in Salem, Oregon, where I grew up as a boy, and my granddad bought that land and began working it in the 1930s. I mean, so as a kid growing up, my mom grew up there, my uncles grew up there, you know, all my cousins grew up there, I grew up there. And then when I was I'd been in the Navy for about 15 years. I must have been in my late 30s, early 40s somewhere. My granddad finally could no longer work the farm. So he contacted me and my brother and my cousins to see if one of us wanted to have the first right to purchase that land. And of course, I mean, I was in the Navy. That was my career. My brother had another career as a certified accountant and businessman. All my cousins had their own careers. So my granddad sold that land. And he was right to do so. He wanted to make sure that that value that he had been building over a lifetime was then distributed the way he wanted it distributed before he passed away. But, you know, it was a very sad thing to see that land go. It felt like, you know, something that should be permanent had passed away. Well, in my life, other things that I thought were pretty permanent have slipped away. I went in the Navy when I was 19. And by the time I was 46, I was still in the Navy, and I couldn't remember a day when I, pretty much, when I hadn't been in the Navy. As far as I was concerned, life was the Navy. And so when I left the Navy in 2001, it was a kind of a shock for me. You know, what's life going to be like outside of the Navy? Well, it's slipped so far away. It's been 10 years now, and, you know, I am not a Navy captain. You know, I was once, but I am no longer. Other things have slipped away, family members and loved ones. Jesus tells us there is one thing in this world that you know and that you have that will never, ever slip away. And he says in Matthew 24:35, his word will stand forever. And in today's text, Matthew 5:18, he says, until the end of time, the law stands. I want to return to this scripture text, Matthew 5, 17 through 24. And remember, Jesus is speaking to the new church that he's pulling together. Okay? This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say, whoever is angry at his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever calls his brother a fool will be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and give your offering to God. Well, Jesus has a surprise for the modernists of our age who think they can judge God's word by the politics of men. The reality is the politics of this world always pass away, and God's word stands forever. Some people, even people in the church, believe that they can set aside some of the Ten Commandments for our own self-centered reasons and desires. And this is not only found in the liberal church, but it's found in the hearts of every congregation. The belief that we can set aside some of the Ten Commandments because priorities in my life take precedence. And God has a surprise for us. Jesus says the Ten Commandments will last until the end of time. The Ten Commandments will stand until the end of time. And Jesus calls us, secondly, he reminds us that we must keep both tables of the law. Both tables of the law. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then last of all, and maybe, you know, the greatest blessing of all, is it a blessing that the Ten Commandments last until the end of time? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the greatest blessing for all mankind is to know that Jesus has fulfilled the law for you. You are safe under the law. Jesus says the Ten Commandments will stand until the end of time. He's opened his famous Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5 through 7. He opens the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. You remember those? He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger, those who are pure. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. And then he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is righteousness? Righteousness is keeping the law, keeping the Ten Commandments. And Jesus tells his followers, he tells Christians, very early in his ministry, that even though he's come to save us from sin, the standards of the Ten Commandments will last throughout all time. He says in verse 18, assuredly, that's truly, truly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle of the law will pass away until all is fulfilled. Jesus uses the expression the law. In the Old Testament, there were three divisions of the law. As we study Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, there's three divisions of the law. The first is the moral law. The moral law came first. The moral law was the Ten Commandments. The first law that God gave his people was the moral law. Then we see later in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, we see God defines the ceremonial law. And then thirdly, he defines what's called the judicial law. Now, the ceremonial laws, and by the way, it's good that you should know this, because sometimes unbelievers will throw at you something from the ceremonial law, from the old book of Leviticus, or they'll throw at you something from the judicial law, from Numbers, and they'll say, you don't keep that, do you? And of course, they're trying to make you stumble. The ceremonial law are the temple sacrifices, and they all pointed directly to Jesus Christ. The judicial laws were the laws on cleanliness, primarily given for the health and safety of the people, the Jewish people. When Jesus Christ came, he himself spoke of the ceremonial laws and the judicial laws that no longer applied because they had served their purpose and they were now put away. But also in the book of Acts and in the book of Hebrews, we have further revelation that the ceremonial laws, which all pointed to Jesus Christ, he is the ultimate sacrifice, so therefore all the ceremonial laws are done away with. And Jesus told us that the judicial laws, you know, the keeping the cleanliness and how to wash and all the foods that were clean and unclean, that has all passed away. What remains standing until the end of time is the moral law. And this is clearly taught throughout the entire New Testament, but especially in these words of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us why the moral law stands until the end of time. The moral law serves three purposes, and you should write these down because they're good for Christians to know. First of all, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, are given to us by God so that we may know that we are sinners. That we may know that we're condemned men or condemned women and that we cannot redeem ourselves. That's the first purpose of the law. And it is this knowledge which prepares a heart, which actually breaks the heart so that we're ready to receive the grace of God that he died for your sins. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:24 says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified, that is, judged and found not guilty by faith in Jesus Christ. So think on this. The first purpose of the law is to convince us that we are sinners who need a Savior. If the law were to pass away, people would no longer be able to come to salvation. No generation would bow down to God if they did not know that they needed a Savior. The second purpose of the law, the Bible tells us, is to provide social order. The Ten Commandments provide the foundation of moral order in the West and everywhere where Christendom has touched. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. These are the bedrock of Western law. Our Constitution is based on the Ten Commandments. Doesn't matter what unbelievers say. It doesn't matter how much those people in rebellion reject the truth. The truth stands. All one need do is look at the Constitution and look at the Ten Commandments, and you can see that they're married together. We've seen in modern times what happens when a nation abandons the second use of the law. The second use of the law is the Ten Commandments used for social order. What happens to a country when they abandon the Ten Commandments? Well, probably most recently, the most prominent example was Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany in the 30s turned away from the Ten Commandments, turned away from the social order of the law, social use of the law. And under the laws of Germany in the 1930s, theft of property became authorized and legal depending on who you were. Under the laws of Germany, when they turned away from the Ten Commandments, murder became legal, depending upon who you were. And by the way, the definition got broader and broader and broader as that decade came to an end. And we can see from that example and many others, the same thing happened in the Soviet Union and in communist China, that when nations turn away from the Ten Commandments, then they start writing laws that serve only one purpose, and that is to keep in power those who are in power. And the citizens of those nations come into great peril. How strange it must have felt for those judges, those German judges who'd condemned so many people and murdered so many people under the false laws of Germany, how strange it must have been for them to sit in the Nuremberg courthouses and be judged by the Ten Commandments. And they were judged. And then they were condemned. Because, you see, God's law stands forever. Jesus tells us the moral law will stand until the end of time, even if men should turn away from it. Finally, and third, you remember now the first use of the law is that it teaches us that we're sinners so we can receive Christ. The second use of the law is for social order, social good. The third use of the law is what Jesus is doing here in this text. The third use of the law is to teach and guide Christians how God wants you to live. How to live your life pleasing to God. And not only pleasing to God, but pleasing to your brother and to fellow man and for your best good. While it is true, no Christian can live the moral law perfectly, and we cannot. We can't do it. It's also true that Christians are out from underneath the condemnation of the law because Christ died for your sins and your sins are forgiven. But the Bible teaches that a Christian has a heart of repentance. That means a heart that turns away from sin and to God. And the Christian has a heart that wants to keep those laws and wants to live according to God's laws. You may remember last Sunday with the 4th of July, we talked about the founding of our nation's liberties, and our forefathers, they observed and they wrote, and it's in the history books. They proclaimed that only a Christian people, guided by God's law, are able to govern themselves. And they warned, if ever a time came when America turned away from its Christian roots, then our democratic republic would be in grave peril. Jesus reminds us in the text, Christians must desire to keep both tables of the law. He calls you to keep both tables. You remember the movie Moses with Charlton Heston, right? He came down from the mountain. He had two tablets. Well, that's biblical. The Bible says God's finger carved the Ten Commandments into two tablets. And the first commandment, or the first tablet, contained the first three commandments, which guide us in our relationship with God. And the second table contains the fourth through the tenth commandments, which guide us in our relationship to mankind, our brothers. Verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, therefore, if you come to church and then you remember that your brother has something against you, go and find your brother and make your heart right with him, and then come back to church and praise God. Jesus wanted to make very clear at the beginning of the church, because he knew that many people, and I think that applies to all of us, myself included, find it right in their heart to worship Jesus Christ, but at the same time have unkindly feelings towards our brothers in Christ. Jesus knew that many would feel obligated by both fear of the Lord and thankfulness for salvation to come and worship God on the Sabbath. All the while, they may be harboring ill will and ill feelings towards their brother Christians. And Jesus says, before you come to worship God, ask your brother to forgive you and make your heart soft towards your brother. Then, and only then, come and worship God. Dear friends, this is how Jesus said the world would know the true church. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Today we see many in the church who are worshiping God by keeping the first table, the first, second, and third commandments of the law. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. But many Christians, just as Jesus foreknew, would be turning their hearts away from the second table of the law, which describes how we are to live with our neighbor. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet what belongs to others. And Jesus says, if you've transgressed this second table, don't bother coming to God to honor the first table, but instead make it right in the second table and then come and make it right with God. Dear friends, this is a great struggle for the church. It is in Commandments 4 through 10 that Satan works hardest to make you stumble. Unbelievers in the world, they scream out their contempt for marital fidelity. They scream out their contempt for honest labor. The world screams out its contempt for the precious sanctity of human life. And Satan and the world and your own old nature call you up onto the broad path that leads to destruction. But dear friends, remember always that Moses came down from Sinai with two tablets, and they were written by the hand of God. If Satan can cause you to let go of one table, you will let go of the other one. As you hear the words of our Lord, each one of us knows that we have erred and we have failed to follow the law as we should. Now is the time to remember. When you acknowledge that in your heart, now is the time to remember that you are safe under the law. You are safe under the law because Jesus says he has fulfilled these commandments for you. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them." And Jesus fulfilled the law and accomplished two things. First of all, he validated that the law is true and that it will stand forever. If it were not true, if the law were to come to a date when it would come to an end, then Jesus would not have had to go to the cross. Because then it would just be a matter of waiting. Waiting until the law comes to an end, and then people can live without the law. But because the law will go to the very end, every single human being that will ever be born is born under the law, fails under the law, and Christ came to die for each one of you. The law requires that sin be punished. If this were not so, Jesus would not have had to go to the cross. He would not have gone to the cross as a demonstration. He would not have suffered all of that terrible, terrible suffering and agony, except for one reason. The law stands until the end of time, and the law requires that sin be punished. And so God came himself in the form of a man, and he lived a sinless life, therefore becoming a perfect sacrifice, and then he died for you to fulfill the law. Anyone who believes that any part of the law is no longer true are no longer valid is declaring that Jesus died in vain on the cross. Any part of the law, if someone tries to set apart any part of the law, they're saying Christ died in vain. Such persons are dead wrong, and they're doomed. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of the law passes away." A jot is the smallest Hebrew letter. It's called the yod. It's what we use for the Y syllable. It's just a little tiny hook. A tittle is an accent mark used either for vowels or for emphasis. And Jesus is basically saying, not one comma or not even the dot of an I will pass away from the Ten Commandments before the end of time. The second thing Jesus did in fulfilling the law is he fulfilled the law for you. And this is the great gospel. This then is how you should desire to live. Jesus died for you on the cross. He took your place on the cross. And by faith in him, he gives his righteousness to you. The righteousness that he lived by fulfilling the law perfectly. So you see, Jesus is speaking to you about the third use of the law. Not the law that condemns, but the law that guides us as Christians to know how we ought to live. This is how we should desire to live in our heart, not hoping that by perfection we will be saved, but desiring to keep God's law because we are saved. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life." This is the desire of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it also should be the desire of your own heart, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Knowing this, you are safe. You're safe under the law because of the redeeming sacrifice of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May his name always be praised. Amen. Well, our hymn, as we